speaker on the open mic tonight is Mr. Noel King.
Shut up, anyway. I didn't catch you when you were on. I had to listen to you for 28 minutes, but anyway.
It's
29. Was 29? Well, anyway, I'll be about a minute and 30 seconds. This is called After Their Boy Leaves Home. Joe insists the lad's Airfix models remain hanging, but gives away the tired out vinyl records, the turntable going to a nephew just getting his teens. Mary washes his left behind clothes, doles them by, unworn to her nephews, worn to Oxfam, well worn to a recycling bin, three underpants become dusters. In his playhouse in the garden, he hidden child colours with black paint, sat head bent under the low ceiling, plucking guitar chords. Joe bursts the roof, hinges it, creases it, makes fuel shed. Mary misses most sounds from the mini amp through her kitchen window. It's out of place in the porch, waiting for inquiries to an ad in the local paper. He'll buy a better model when he gets his feet in London, he says, and promises, swears to them, he'll never, ever bus on the underground.
Thanks, Noel. And next up is Kevin Britton.
Two very sharp offerings, and like Henry VIII said to his wife, I won't keep you long. The first one is called Losses. It was a fine day, but nothing was done. The last of the tea was cold and filmed over. There was much in the past to be feared. A friendship had been left at the curb. A small success left a taste in the mouths. A prodigal poem that refused to be written. And this one is a sort of a found poem. I was in the library in Killarton doing a bit of writing one day, and a man came in and explained to the librarian exactly the type of book he wanted to borrow. So I took it from there. Borrowing a book. The man at the library gave a rapid, hopeful resume of the kind of book he hoped to borrow. A thriller. Not a detective, but an international flavour. Espionage, good guys, bad guys. A beautiful girl who falls immediately for the best of the good guys. Lots of action, fisticuffs, urgent, passionate love, without complication. Clear lines between good and evil. Everyone, good and bad, get their just desserts. At the end, the happy couple retired to a cabin in upstate New York. The girl's aunt left them in her will. The hero then makes a fortune writing thrillers just like the one he featured in, raised two children successfully, fished unsuccessfully. Late in life, he studied creative writing and philosophy, and later still he began to write poetry that was mediocre, but only at the start.
So this is a relatively neat poem. It's called Bird Seeks Cage or How to Fill an Empty Room. Before I met you, I had opened and closed my heart so many times it was a miracle it had not flapped its way right out of my chest. Meet, open, fight, close, cry, open, lose, close. So maybe that's why when you came along, I was so drawn to that case of bulletproof glass that you keep in your own chest. I would press my cheek against it and watch your heart burning, and I learned to love what I knew I could not do. If love is a room, and I've heard that it is, then it is one that we never quite knew how to furnish, but we tried. Brought all our belongings, suitcases upon suitcases, unpacked them together, tried to make old things fit in new spaces. And when we fought, because I put a lamp where you knew only a vase should go, when I cried because your dresser was exactly where our bed should be, then we held each other in the dark and whispered over and over, this is love, this is love, until we had to believe. If love is a word, and I know that it is, then it is one that we never quite knew how to pronounce, or rather that we never quite pronounced the same, because we spoke two languages, you and I, so similar, so vitally different. What language were we speaking when you touched my face, or when we kissed, or when you cried? In what language did you close the door behind you? And in what language did I take the photographs off the walls? And my heart still opens and closes like wings on a flightless bird. Kiss, open, fear, close, trust, open, learn better, close. And your heart burns behind bulletproof glass. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. This is called Siren Song, and Odysseus speaks. I don't know if some people know about the sirens. They were weird mermaids on a rock and lured sailors to their doom. Most people know about them. Anyway, Odysseus thought of a plan whereby he could have his cake and eat it. So this is his plan's Siren Song. Circe warned me of their fatal spell. I know the danger that is the talk of the Aegean ports, know the power of their unearthly voices that float across the waves. A cordon to throw upon the will, lasso the ardor of unweary mariners, and tug them to their doom. I embrace the risk. Such pleasure without pain, long to escape unscathed from indulged enchantment. I alone will taste their thrill, I alone will taste the thrill of this forbidden song, an act of pure defiance to a pattern laid down. I've half forgotten Ithaca, my lady and my son. The flames of Ilium are but a memory. Making it happen will require some skill. Weary with wandering, the men resist, ravaged and pillaged from plunder. They long to seek out their familiar haunts. I've just written this in longhand, so I'm a little bit. But I hold fast. They rage at me. Tell me of a time I dragged them from the island where the lotus blooms, though they had begged me to remain. I stayed deaf to their combined dissent, appalled at my imperious need to override their pleadings and concern. I set my wily will to hatch a plan. I have the wax prepared to stop their ears, the ropes laid by to lash me to the mast. The dog star is our guide as sails unfurl against a cloudless sky. I know when I'm invaded by their silver tongues, I'll flail and beg the crew to alter course. If I'm destroyed by my unchecked desire, At least my dirge will be worth dying for. Of all the dangers of this endless voyage, none fills me with such ecstasy as this. So often the plaything of the gods, tossed between Scylla and Charybdis, the forced lover of Calypso, enslaved to Polyphemus. For once, I am the agent of my fate. Thank you.
Extract from a letter to the fella that used to be married to my sister. You wanted to do something new, reinvent yourself, you said. You were fed up with your humdrum married life and my little sister Mary, or as you called her, your boring Irish dancing, shanna singing, country cushy wife. So, got yourself a Portuguese aunt to remodel as a girlfriend. She looked good. Sitting beside you in your new BMW XL YZ series, so-and-so, something or other, only six others like it in the country, went from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 3 seconds flat. Imagine that, you said. 10 miles to the gallon, but you could afford it, what with making obscene lorry loads of money from your ridiculous project manager's job. Telling other people how to do their job, even though everybody knew you hadn't got a bog's notion how to tell your metatarsal from your scrotum, couldn't hang a shelf, but all help to save your life didn't know the difference between a bolt and a screw, but still, hey, you knew how to tell other people how to do. You were one of the new breed of Irish people, not afraid to take your place sitting up at the big boys' table. Not messed up in the head with inferiority like your parents' generation. You taking courses in assertiveness and on how to be a winner. Working was for losers, you said. You'd seen the size of the cake sitting up on top of the big boys' table. You're going to take a great big slice of it for yourself, going all the way to the top. Nobody going to stop you realizing your full potential. Investment and consultancy was the way to go. Advising other people how to, and of course you got yourself a so-and-so property portfolio. Villas in Marbella, apartment blocks in Greece, what a toss park. Must have come as a terrible shock when you arrested in Bangkok Airport with 25 kilos of cocaine in your suitcase. There must be some mistake, you said. I know how that got there. Your Portuguese lingerie model girlfriend was nowhere to be seen when she was sent down for 16 years in the Bangkok Hilton, the warders and the governor of the prison could not believe their luck to have you as their special guest on call 24 hours a day, just in case they ever needed someone to tell them how to do their job. P.S. My little sister Mary, she sends her regards. She got a message for you. She wants me to pass it on. Her message is clear, unambiguous. Even a dumb, nuts moron like you should be able to understand it. It's simple, it's precise, it's concise. It's only got 3 words. Go do yourself. And if you don't know how to do that, I'm sure there are some people close at hand to be happy to do it for you. I'm so glad you finally realized your full potential. PPS, final message from my little sister Mary. It's only got 4 words. Go double do yourself. Thank you.
Danger. At once my enemy, a blank page, stares at me, an organized mess of rows and columns, jottings and loose pages of indolence. What I have purported to have achieved is thrown back at me, remembering how I forged my own lines, cartoon cruel, I become the worshipper of my own arrogance. Scaling through the library steps, the lifts are broken again, I, ribbed, sweaty, my silence affected by mobile ringing. 10-year-old fine, or else. Fine, I won't do it again. I'll wash my mouth out with Guinness. For to be truly Irish, one must obey our stereotypes, no matter how well we are fed. The leprechaun dances in the south corner of the dick shop, grown tacky with demand. Sorry to insult your vanity, but things never work out that way. There's a tinted urgence, bursting into an image of reckoning. I will hold the light in the corner to beckon our return to form. Thank you.
Next up is Mr. Rob Burgermal.
I need some props. I'll sort it out.
So this is actually a poem for three distinct voices, but there's only me, so if you see me jumping about from side to side, you'll understand what I'm about, okay? So, Griffith Park, Dublin, June 2011. I met an adventurous today. Sometimes fate plays into your hands and you have to be big enough to catch the tiger's tail and open. Heart, honest, open. Scary shit. Near virginal nervousness as we open together. Sharing, gingerly, gently, massaging sore points, memories, a turn of phrase, smiles, giggles, belly laughing. This is an edited version of my past, which alludes to, but doesn't illustrate, my most recent intimate relationship. Ditto. That was another voice. Did you know it?
Yes.
Discovering, is this just a pleasant fuck, or is there something more? Eyes look, bounce off, and heads turn away. Then back, away, and longer back. Eyes lock, soul searching. Find fear. Fear of love. Fear of change. Close closer, cuddle, skin on hair. Smell ear, neck, then kiss. Exhale, inhale, heavy breathing, sleeping, believing, dreaming of the sudden joy of somebody who understands. Be careful. This is a country of poets and fairies, and you might not come back. The oracle speaks. Change is going to happen. That is the law, and it's set in concrete, so change is definitely going to happen. Hang on a minute. This piece is called Griffith Park, Dublin, June 2011. But none of the gone before happened in that park. Oh yeah, right, so, a little context. Which was more beautiful, the park, or you, or Martha, the golden retriever pup? When we stopped and sat close, it was you, in motion, Martha. But I won't forget the park. Small though it was, sitting on a hump inside our cordon sanitaire, the grass green and trees occasionally invaded by Martha's fast friends, we smoked, went, and watched sun shimmer gleam on river. Griffith Park, Dublin, June 2011, a thing of rare beauty. Okay, I like that. Two people in a park with a dog and love. But is that it, or is there some more resolutional conclusion? Well, there is actually a poetically styled personal message containing an inverted compliment. Would you like to hear it? Yes, please. You float on life, tears gone by, sparkle in eyed, engaged with a mystery. I like you, and I'm glad you're not my sister.
Thanks. And next up is Annie Webb.
Okay. mixes with your tanned skin. Makes your hair shine and eyes glint. You're loved, even if you don't know it. Though I wish you did. I wish I could see the proof in those strong eyes of yours, the vibrant blues your mother granted you with. So your mind wouldn't have to provide the spark. It would be there forever bright and burning with adventure. Even in the rain. Except especially in the rain, when you throw your head back and laugh for the hell of it. There is nothing more beautiful or captivating. You have traveled long and far too often alone, pushing away, worried you will destroy so quickly what you desire most. But I won't break so easily. I am stronger than you think. I have seen your scars and heard your secrets. I know your many faces and crumbling interior. I see you. Namaste. And I am still here. Please just let me love you to convince you someone does. Even if you can't tell me you'll stay, at least keep talking. Because with your voice in my head, we can make it through anything.
I just wrote this poem tonight here because I didn't bring any of my poems with me because I didn't know I'd be here tonight. So, and then I did. But I just made something up there a couple of hours ago, so, you know, bear with me, please. Tomorrow. Fingers entwined, gazes locked, his lips within her hair. His reason for living, his reason for loving, she his beautiful wife. She smiles, contented and safe, lying within his arms. Little do they know, one knot of arms tomorrow shall be there. Thank you.
Karmic wink. What goes around comes around. The 1999 rack of sheer bright skins with straps and zippers catching fingers in its web of coarse sex. Except for a silk slip to slip inside an ivory cloud that billows and churns over him, trapping lightning till he lifts his head high, biting my nipple carved in cloud. I buy what I know he wants, a net of nylon. One size fits all, dyed the color of cartoon cherry blood. Slit up the belly for him to grab some skin, made in Mexico. It's a girl. I lay her on his desk, wrapped in pink tissue paper. His fingers slide over his slick new phone, cooing, turned on. Surprise me, he says. I toss her on the bed. Her long black braid sways on her shoulder. I tear away the pink paper from her full moon face, more Indian than Spanish. Her skin, like wet clay, shines with sweat. Embarrassed, I tried to explain that I didn't always need her services. My body used to be enough. One time we made love three times on the way to the toilet. Ah, she says, lifting my arms up and pulling my sweater over my head like you would a child. Four, if you count on the toilet. Her right thumb clicks as she unbuttons my shirt. I stop her halfway in case this pains her and undress myself. I didn't think much of my body till I saw how it could move him. She smiles, not letting her lips part. I read them like a symbol of symmetry and grow jealous of her abundant mouth until her thumb clicks out of place. Then in, then out, in, out, in, out, losing singularity like the rhythm of a machine as she scratches and bites my breasts to plump them with welts, spits on them to create depth, picks blood and rust and chili powder from under her nails, rubs them into my chest and belly to flush with need. Wipes her sticky brow along the inside of my thigh so they will glow. She cuts her thick braid with her teeth in a flash, like she's just snapped a few taut threads. Wraps her braid high around my hips to stretch my legs. The last inches of braid hang like a tail till she packs it between my ass crack. Till she packs it in my ass crack and between my legs, covering my mound of black curls with her split ends like a tattered fan. Assume the position, he texts. I strain to hear footsteps on the stairs. Silence reminds me the arthritic clicks have ceased. In bed, I pull the blanket up to my chin. Unpositioned, I pretend to sleep, sore from waiting on him to be surprised. I'm prepared now to wait all night for a sincere apology before he gets even a wink from karma.
So we have Dave Rock.
I couldn't decide. I was just sitting there and I was thinking chocolate love poem or pogo stick Jesus. It feels kind of either way to me. Anybody call it out. Okay, 12 monkeys, given typewriters, given infinity, have already hammered out a Denmark in which the prince takes up arms before the poison thumps in the veins of the entire court. Already drafted an earth on which no one ever felt the need to build the Twin Towers or to tear them down. A world in which everybody's favorite uncle is an aging French clown tightening the cords of ether above a place never named Ground Zero, only to waltz over and back, laughing at those cops stuck embracing the air of his absent advance. Because you cannot arrest a man who walks on thin air. And those monkeys have churned out Bibles which wear their Tom and Jerry credentials with irreverent pride. New Testaments in which every crucifix transmutes into a pogo stick at the very last minute, and Christ bounces across Calvary, striking the heads of lepers like piano keys, daisy chaining concertinas from their wafer yellow teeth. And I could stand here, clench my teeth and breathe and go on rhapsodizing like this all night, pretending that my requests to these pent-up simians could, like a wolf's first breath, penetrate this world built of final straws and all the shit and the squalor that you were born into. But tonight it doesn't feel true. I just want to know the shape of your face in music that my chewed up Bic can produce. My imagination refuses to let you be yourself. I want to write about you, my upside down bride, who dropped hot tears on my neck when I confessed that I imagined myself like a tree breathing inside you. Held up your hands when you came as if to say enough. Everything is enough. My mother, who flinched but still turned fists and unlit petrol into plowshares that furrowed until they turned a grandmother's wrinkles from scar tissue to seeds to wrinkles to scars over and over again. And you, my friends, this slight shock, this oxygen of love unexpected, the inescapable faint feeling that when you look at me, put your arms around me, you must think I'm someone else. I want to write all of you without invoking my vocabulary of dog-eared divinity, without parading every meme that ever rested on my bookshelf. But you're beyond me. So tonight, at least, I can say your name without trying to set the world on fire. Paul. Fergus. Deirdre. Emily. Ruth. Dave. Cry without mention of wolves. Stand here. Smile. At you. Without even a drive-by mugging of the face of the baby Jesus. Thank you.
Michael
O'Donnell.
Mr. Michael O'Donnell is
going
to read
this. I'm going to read, when I get over to the, I'm going to follow that, like all those poems or anything. I mean, it's almost impossible, isn't it? How would you do it?
You'll do it.
Come on, man. Any of us can do it. But Lemmy can do it next year. Anyway, I'm going to have a poem by Auden. William Auden. The unknown citizen. Interesting. Why this young fellow thought, Jesus Christ, I'm in the party like you, he's one of us. Anyway, he was found by the Bureau of Statistics to be one whom there was no official complaint. And all the reports on his conduct agree that the modern sense of the old-fashioned word, he was a saint. For in everything he did, he served the greater community, except in the war, till the day he retired. He worked in the factory and never got fired, but satisfied his employers, first incorporate and fired. Yet, he was not a scab. Old in his views, for his union reports said he paid all his dues. Our report on union shows this was sound. Our social psychology workers found he was popular with his mates and he liked to drink. The press are convinced that he bought a paper every day and that his reaction to advertisements were normal and in any way. Policies taken out under name, and he was fully insured. And his health card showed that he was in hospital but left cured. He was fully sensible to the advantages of the installment plan and had everything necessary to the modern man. A phonograph, a radio, a car and a VGR. Our researchers into public opinions are content that he held the proper opinions for the time of year. When there was peace, he was for peace, and when there was war, he went. Our teachers report that he never interfered with their education. Was he free? Was he happy? The question is absurd. Had anything been wrong, we should certainly have heard.
Tanro, ach ta fuisiv le fai le vocal, litrach an habitra, ag shushanach saniha. Ar hiam os cion macrachan, scrúdiam scall, Nocter Malochtana, Scopter and Kyo. Saluk full of such a syllaba, Egeishuk in a patient at Tebi, Egnadu, Sekohu, Ernyart, Nyurlisha. Moonluk Margruiga, Ruk Marhula, Gurukon Marviongo, Ekroig Mavun Lanua. Mokriyak Shni Okyardi Gokyardi, Ogluan Gugluan, Oluan Guluan. Ach, is Kyardi me Fosta, Nach Feder Peroga Mahil, Echangel, a canasu, is me feina yalvu, nis loidre, nis oile, is me skola chahav, vohukon groana. On tuignis on tanro, ach ta fuishiv le foile vopin, litrican habitra, ek shishernoch zaniha. And the translation is a gloom. Loneliness, distress, but comfort can be found in words. Letters of the alphabet whisper in the night. I rise above myself, inspect my reflection, my faults become visible, the mist clears. An empty vessel sits in bed, listening to the abstract worms nesting in and feeding off the strength of the host. Putrid hair, wrinkles for eyes, an abbreviation for a smile, moulding my new self. My heart floats from craftsman to craftsman, from generation to generation, from Monday to Monday. But I'm also a craftswoman. Can I not bind and heal the pebbles of my life and sculpt a version of myself, stronger, more beautiful, and cast my shadow on nasty moods? Loneliness, distress, but comfort can be found in words. Letters of the alphabet whisper in the night.